Podtacular episode 342, Bulletin Update for January 31st, 2013. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And welcome back as we look into more of some good Halo information. As of this recording, the bulletin came out yesterday, and there are some pretty interesting tidbits in here that I think a good portion of the Halo community will be very happy with. That's at the very end of the bulletin. And then we have some other kind of community-related stuff to talk about afterwards, including your submissions. So first off, let's hit the bulletin and let's kind of read through some of the stuff. The first thing that we have here is an interview with Bernie Burns from Rooster Teeth. And as you guys probably know, Rooster Teeth was pretty much the creator of a game type called Griffball. You think people have heard of that, Brent?
Maybe. You might have played it. Back in Halo 3, it was kind of a big deal, you know.
Yeah, and then Halo Reach, it was
Reach.
Pretty much kind of, it was close to be making its own game type. It was a variant, but we had the announcer say Griffball, so that was one thing.
Griffball!
And now we have a full-fledged game type in Halo 4. And I love the announcer when he announces the game type, because it's smash enemies, score goals. It's just one of the funniest things to listen to coming out of Jeff Stitzer's mouth for Griffball.
Yeah, I often wonder, like, what are the crazy things we could get Jeff Stitzer to say? To, like, actually put in a Halo game? Because he's, like, one of the best parts of matchmaking. Like, anytime I'm playing, that's the voice I listen to. Like, yeah, Steve Downs, I've always said it, like, he's the voice of the Chief, but he is not the voice of Halo. That's Jeff Stitzer.
Well, I think that's because the majority of people play matchmaking so much, that's just the voice you hear. And funny thing was, when I first got Halo, I originally thought the voice of Master Chief, Steve Downs, was actually the same guy doing the announcer voices for the multiplayer.
I thought the same thing.
And then
that's pretty common, you know.
And then I learned otherwise when it came around to Halo 3 and I was actually talking with people and it's like, those are actually different. So it's interesting how similar
subtle.
Their voice. Yeah. It is distinct, but it's very surprising how similar their voices actually are.
Yes. It's a matter of gruff, I think. Kind of a Steve Downs has that kind of smooth voice that he does on his radio show that he has to kind of gruff up, and then it sounds like this weird mix between a cocktail waitress and a, you know, football player. I don't know.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
It's like this competing, you know, vocal challenge between his softer side and his gruff side.
Yeah, and Jeff Stitzer's a little bit just more abrupt and kind of just out there. It just kind of kicks you a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, yes. Hi, Jeff Stitzer. Yes, we're playing Griffball. But it's cool. It's really nice to see War Games even being included in the whole storyline, too, because it's mentioned in the campaign, and it's actually mentioned in Spartanoff. So we now have this full conclusion of every aspect of Halo is tied together somehow. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't know how Griffball started, all the questions that 343 asks Bernie Burns goes through the whole history of Griffball, how it started, and all that stuff. And just, I guess, to give you guys a brief history of it, although I wouldn't do it justice, Bernie Burns or anyone over from Griffball Hub would actually be better at describing this. But given a general understanding of Griffball, it was started in the Red vs. Blue web series by a character called Sarge. And there's another character called Griff on there, and there's a joke made at some point in the series, in season 4, I believe. And Sarge, Donut, and Simmons are taking pot shots at Griff with sniper rifles, and Sarge makes a comment, "This is the best game since Griffball!" And of course, over the time it took, I think, when that joke was made to when Griffball was produced, what, 3 years? Does that sound about right?
I'm not sure, but yeah, it sounds about right.
It took some time before an actual Griffball game type was made, because this was back in the Halo 2 days when this piece of machinima came out, and they brought it out about a year or so after Halo 3's release. Maybe not. Maybe more like 9 months.
Yeah.
So that game type kind of blossomed, and they went through a few iterations. And it started off as an assault variant, where you pick up the ball in the middle of a court, and you plant it on the other side, and after a second, it blows up without a chance for someone to disarm it. And it was a lot of fun. Griff Ball back then, it started out kind of small, and as people understood what it was and got into it, it started to grow and grow and grow. And then
community... there was nothing like it. It was a different kind of Halo game variant that wasn't focused on kills. It wasn't even related to the main gameplay mechanics of Halo, if you think about it. I mean, the idea of the golden triangle and all those things, you know, the grenade weapons, melee approach, like none of that matters. It's just run around and melee and grab this ball and try to protect the dude who's got the ball, or, you know, kind of cleverly coax your way over to the assault pad and score.
It's essentially kind of like rugby or football.
Yeah.
So
very similar.
It was very interesting to kind of see it grow out of starting in Foundry, and they had to do all the Forge tricks to merge the pieces together. And then after a few iterations, we came up with this game type, and maps got created. More of them came out as, what was it, Sandbox?
Yeah.
Sandbox?
Because
Sandtrap was the first same one that came out, and then I believe it's Sandbox.
Yeah, Sandbox was the forgeable one, I think.
So yeah. Sandbox came out, and then we saw a lot more variations on Forge maps. And then Halo Reach comes out, and it's pseudo-supported in such a way that there is a Griffball variant that's made out of Assault. And we had a lot of maps come out of that, and that was when we really started to see Griffball become more competitive and not quite meet kind of the expectations of a competitive Halo. But it's definitely drew the attention of a lot of people, and there's some people that are crazy about Griffball. You just look at people that are over at Griffball Hub, at National Griffball Association, at the AGLA. There's people that go crazy over this game type, and it's a lot of fun. It's more about having fun than it is about being serious and killing people, which I think is why it's another kind of attractive alternative to playing Halo.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't really understand how to play normal competitive Halo, this is like a different outlet if you want to get really competitive, because it's a completely different way to play. I mean, the different things I've seen, you know, really good Griffball players do, and I really didn't get into Griffball enough to get into the competitive side, but, you know, they all turn around at the same time and then, you know, jump into the air and hit the air with their grab hammers, and it sends them flying back so that they can grab the ball at the beginning of the match, like, just crazy synchronized movements like that. There's nothing like it in Halo.
Right.
It's just true, you know?
And funny thing, either the next podcast after this or the one after that, we're actually going to have Griffball Hub on talking about the maps in the Griffball playlist that's currently out on the matchmaking hoppers right now. So that'll be a little bit later on. And we'll have Goose Cheka, who runs the Griffball Hub League, is on the Griffball Hubcast on the podcast to talk about that stuff.
Nice.
Indeed. So moving on to some more matchmaking playlist updates. This week we are getting the introduction of, drumroll please, Team Doubles. Now, a lot of people have been really asking for this. A lot of competitive people, a lot of hardcore people asking for this, these smaller maps, this really competitive play style that is Team Doubles. It's one of the more popular playlists from Halo 3 and Halo 2 that everyone's just been waiting for to come back, and it's finally coming in. It's going to be replacing the Forge community test playlist, though, so if you want to finish playing on the Forge maps that were put out, you might want to get those done this weekend, because there's actually some pretty good maps over there. The thing with those Forge maps, though, I'm not sure when they plan on rotating them into the regular hoppers. It may be a couple of weeks or maybe a month or so before we see them in here, but they're going to take back some of the community feedback that they've gotten in the forums and the data that they have from the matchmaking hoppers and seeing who picked what maps and what maps are favored over that. And then after some time, I think they'll probably implement most, if not all those maps into regular matchmaking.
Cool. So I haven't been able to play them yet, so I'm not sure if I really... I'm excited for that, but from what I've seen, they look like pretty cool maps.
There's some pretty good ones. There's some ones that are definitely competitive-focused as well. You've probably heard about the Lockout remake Shutout, right?
Yeah.
So that one's really good. That one is a very good Forge version of Lockout.
Here's my problem, and maybe it's completely irrelevant to this, but Blackout kind of killed Lockout for me. Like, I played Blackout, and I'm like, this plays nothing like Lockout. This is not fun like Lockout was. Like, when you look back at Halo 2, and you had to pick one map out of that game that most people would agree is just really fun for 4v4, they would pick Lockout. Almost every time.
And one side is CTF.
And, you know, you just... seeing what Blackout did to such a legendary map from Halo 2 kind of killed me on remakes of Lockout.
Personally, I didn't find it too much of an issue. I know a lot of people really didn't like it. I think one of the big complaints was jumps, too. A lot of the same jumps weren't there.
Yeah, and people get used to those jumps, you know?
Yeah.
It becomes part of the map flow.
It's just that having a map remake, I don't think you can really ever expect it to be the same as the map that you originally played on.
Well, especially not now with AAs and mods.
Right. All the fancy stuff.
Jetpacks.
Yeah. There's been a few podcasts that have actually been going around and kind of picking out some of the things that either makes or breaks Halo 4 in a certain way. And I think it may be something for us to do here in a couple of weeks out where we break down the game piece by piece and give our general thoughts on it. And hopefully I can get a big panel on for something like that.
Talk about the triad or whatever.
Well, yeah, talk about three, that. Mm-hmm.
The Triforce, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the triad. It's isn't it the Golden Triangle of Halo or something?
Yeah, the Golden Triangle or but
melee grenades and AAs, weapons.
I think that's the main complaint people have with AAs nowadays is because it kind of kills the idea of the Golden Triangle. It like takes a knife and stabs it right through the heart. Because now your methods of interaction in the game are no longer confined to mainly punching, grenading, and shooting. Now you have different modes of, you know, transportation. I mean, think the jetpack completely changes map flow.
Ordnance.
You know, it completely changes all three parts of the Golden Triangle. Because, you know, you melee up in the air, that's different. It's harder to melee somebody when you can't reach them. You know, it puts people in higher positions to get headshots. They can look over the map.
Right.
Grenading is a little bit easier, in my opinion, when you're flying up in the air.
Ordnance is also kind of a big effect on that, too. Personal ordnance.
Yeah, it's
because
no longer really an issue of going to a part of the map that you know is, you know, there's going to be a weapon spawning there that you want, like a sniper rifle or a rocket. Now you can, you know, get those things at any point in the match, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
At any given place, too. I mean, it changes.
Yeah, and it sucks when you get crappy ordnance like a needler, frag grenades, and then something like thruster pack.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes someone else might get a binary rifle, incineration cannon, and overshield as theirs.
Power up, damage boost.
Yeah, damage. Oh my gosh, damage boost.
I love damage boost when I get it.
Well, yeah, whenever you get it, but when you're fighting against it, we'll get into that kind of stuff. I need to start making a list of everything that needs to be talked about just in fine granular detail. And that'll be a podcast that probably ends up being 2 hours long, maybe 3 hours long.
Yeah. We need to get some really passionate people.
It'll have to be a weekend podcast.
What I want to do is get like one person who enjoys Halo 4 and likes it better than, you know, Reach or Halo 3. And then one person who thinks that the changes are awful on that podcast. And then we can be like the, you know, neutral moderators or whatever.
I'm not sure if I want to be moderating that discussion. That would be a very violent discussion, possibly.
Yeah, but that makes for a good podcast.
It does. Oh, boy. We will be doing that at some point. Probably here mid-February, late February.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Back to the bulletin. In the team doubles playlist, we're going to have two different game types. There's going to be Infinity Doubles, which is 2v2. You have the 70-point personal ordinance. You have the instant respawn. And games are played to 300 points. So 30 kills per side. You also have custom loadout that you can use, and radars are enabled. For Doubles Pro, which is going to be the second game type that's on there, you're going to have preset loadouts. The score limit's still 300, but no radar, no personal ordnance, and no instant respawn. So the loadouts for the Doubles Pro, for the first one, it's DMR primary, Magnum secondary, no armor abilities, resupply, and dexterity. Loadout number two, BR primary, Magnum secondary, no armor ability, resupply, mod, dexterity, support. Loadout three is the light rifle primary, Magnum secondary, no armor ability, resupply, and dexterity. And then the loadout four is carbine primary, Magnum secondary, armor abilities, none, resupply, and dexterity. So everything is the same except for your starting weapon. You can either choose DMR, BR, light rifle, or carbine.
DMR every time.
There's also a CTF doubles. Now, this is going to be interesting because Capture the Flag has been a game type that's, you have to have at least four people to play it well. And I guess with the inclusion of the Flagnum, it opens up the possibility for this 2v2 Capture the Flag. Yeah. So in this playlist, you do have custom loadouts, you do have radar. Respawn time is set to 10 seconds. It's 5 flags to win and the 3-second return. And we haven't seen this in any other playlist yet, I think. But I take that back. We have seen it in the Forge community test. So normally in past Halo games, if you stand on the flag for most playlists and game types, there's a reduced time where you can return the flag instead of having it just reset. So if you stand in a small vicinity around the flag, that's when this return timer kicks in. So it's going to be a 3-second return timer and a 15-second flag reset. And also, the flag does not have to be at home to score. That would cause a lot of bottlenecks if the flag had to be at home to score.
I don't know. CTF doubles just doesn't appeal to me. Like, doubles in general doesn't appeal to me. I enjoyed it a little bit in Halo 2, but like,
it's more of a competitive thing. A lot of the competitive community likes the team doubles because it's a very close knit. You're really working on strategy, really working on covering angles, and you really have to know a map well in order to play team doubles. And that's why I think players that play competitively absolutely love it.
Well, I think you also have to find somebody who's compatible with you. I mean, on your level of skill, at least.
Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily skill all the time, because I play with someone regularly who's been on the show before, Jackfire. I play with him regularly, and his skill's a lot better than mine. I can still call out, and he can cover me. Granted, it helps to have equivalent skill, but it's not always necessary. As long as you talk to each other and you have good strategy, then you're going to be a good duo anyways. It's just a matter of how better the other duo is than you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also one of those playlists where you don't go in there and find another player. You know, you don't go in alone.
No, if you want to win. That's right. Yeah, that's, you're completely on the money on that one.
I mean, I trust the people on my friends list to have a basic understanding of Halo and know how to play it well. You know, well enough to win against most of the people I play against. You know, assuming that matchmaking is working and the skill level actually places me with people of my, you know, comparable skill level, you know, or playing against them, I can trust that if I go in with somebody from my friends list, I have a chance at least of winning. But you go in alone on team doubles and you're just going to get wrecked.
Right. So go in with a friend, people. That's the best way to enjoy this playlist.
At least you only need one.
That is true. Like... I wonder if you can go in here as a party of four.
I don't know.
I don't see it in here anywhere where they specify that. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see when the playlist comes out, because I don't see anything in here specifically saying what the max party size is. So we will see. More on the playlist update front. The Capture the Flag playlist is going to have the addition of a new game type called Infinity CTF. This is going to be a new variant on the CTF that has currently been in there, where players have the ability to call in personal ordnance. So that's going to be interesting. I'm not sure. It seems like they're hinting at some other things that they're going to add in here as well, but I'm not exactly sure what that stuff is. They're kind of vague in the bulletin on what that may be. To quote them, they say, in this new variant, players will have the ability to call in personal ordnance in order to add variety, power, and in some case, total chaos to their flag runs. So I think it's just ordnance, but I could be mistaken.
Does that sentence kind of like rub you the wrong way? Like the very end,
total chaos
to their flag. It runs against, to me, what was a core Halo multiplayer ethos, which was kind of a certain fairness at any given time in the match. You know, if you didn't have a power weapon, it was because, you know, you didn't get there. You didn't. I mean, everybody should know where the power weapons are, first of all. I mean, in Halo 2, Halo 3, and Halo Reach. So if you didn't know where they were, that was your fault. If you didn't get there fast enough, it was your fault. You didn't have the sniper or whatever. You know, if you get wrecked, it was because your team didn't go and get the power weapons. And now it wasn't chaos because there wasn't any randomness to it. It was skill based. You know, you had to defend the weapon spots. And now with the personal ordnance, they're not even trying to cover up the fact that it brings this complete total random aspect to Halo.
Right.
They're like, yep, total chaos. It's awesome, bro. Like, you're losing, and then all of a sudden, man, you got like this incineration cannon. Screw their warthog, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. One of the things that I think 343 needs to do, and I think they will do this, especially when the combat skill rank comes out in April, is make playlists that are geared specifically towards kind of the classic, quote unquote, hardcore style of Halo, where it's you have set weapon spawns, you don't have the random ordnance drop, you don't have instant respawn and that stuff, and then have those playlists that are more like the Halo 4 experience, which I think is how this new experience is supposed to be, which is a lot more casual, a lot more fun than past Halo games where they've been a little bit more serious.
Yeah. The good old days.
Yeah.
Looking back on Halo 2, reminiscing. And then I look back and remember, like, people messing with their modems, trying to stand by, BXR, which, I mean, admittedly was skill-based, but if you couldn't do it, it was annoying. You know, you get shot in the head twice with a single, trigger pull.
Yeah, I wasn't around then.
Yeah.
You know that trick? Trick actually works on the PC version of Halo 2, BXR?
Oh, yeah, because it became a competitive thing. At that point, it wasn't a glitch, you know, it wasn't an exploit. It was just something that you had to learn how to do if you wanted to play competitively. Now, admittedly, it was a glitch. Like, it was never intended to be there. People were never intended to play that way. But it was just another kind of skill set that differentiated the very competitive players from the, the casuals.
Right.
And that's why MLG loved Halo 2 so much.
Because it segregated people?
Well, no, because you had to be more skillful. I mean, if you wanted to play at the top of your game, you not only had to learn how to play Halo, the basic movements you have to make, the strategies, you also had to learn how to do the glitches. You had to learn how to do the BXR, the double shot.
I think a lot more people back then, though, were more competitive about Halo 2 because it was a little more close-knit following, where nowadays it's a lot more generic and it's the casual gamers is getting into Halo 4, and the whole MLG crowd, which may be in part why MLG is not holding Halo 4 anymore. We were going to have a podcast about that a little earlier this week, but I didn't have any co-hosts to do it with, so we're going to save that for another week here soon. But in addition to just how Halo 4 has been developed and kind of the possibility of some of the lacking competitive aspects to it, I think that whole thing where it's those little things that create that skill gap that may kind of turn off the more casual players. It's like, well, that's kind of hard. I don't think you really need to be able to have to master an exploit like that in order to be called a good Halo player.
Well, there were two distinct exploits that were the most important. There was the BXR, which wasn't the double shot, now that I'm thinking about it. And that's why I wanted to clarify, because I sounded stupid. But the BXR was, you would melee and then immediately shoot, which would cause an instant kill. It was a one-hit kill melee, basically, from any direction. You obviously assassinate someone and get a one-hit melee kill, but if you were right in front of them, you had to master the BXR, otherwise you were just going to get killed. They would always win that match. You couldn't win a melee fight with somebody who had mastered the BXR. Now, the double shot was different. That completely changed the game because you were using the double shot constantly.
The shoot, reload, shoot?
Yeah, I don't remember the button combination for it, and that's probably why I thought the BXR.
Shoot, reload, shoot, or shoot, melee, shoot. I think it was shoot, reload, shoot.
Melee, reload, shoot. You had to interrupt the reload animation.
I think it was just shoot, reload, shoot.
No, whatever. It was an exploit.
Yeah.
Super bouncing. Yeah. But, I mean, super bouncing was kind of an exploit that was cheating in a way. It wasn't like the BXR or, you know, the double shot in terms of just being able to be skillful at it, and you can use it anywhere. There was very certain spots that you had to be able to do the super jump, I think. Unless they had mastered some sort of glitch where you could do it anywhere. I don't remember.
No, it's certain points. I'm wondering how they even figured that out in the first place.
Just, I have no clue. Just an understanding of game development.
I guess.
Because it was a geometry glitch.
Yeah. And, but still, being able to find that specific piece of geometry, just, I don't know. Someone had a little too much time on their hands.
I'd actually mastered the super bounce on Zanzibar. Took a sniper up there all the time. I kind of felt bad, but it felt so good at the same time.
So you were one of those people.
Well, I quit doing it. But, I mean, for the first, 20 or so matches after I'd mastered it, it was pretty fun.
All right. Okay.
But I think they... I don't remember if they patched those out or not.
Most of the ones in Halo 2, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they patched just about every single one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. The specializations that get unlocked this week are Rogue and Tracker. Rogue has the armor stability mod, which increases your stability when you're firing. So whenever you get shot at, your gun doesn't wobble around as much if you're zoomed in. And then the Tracker specialization has the requisition armor mod. And this one has the ability to basically reroll your entire ordnance set. So if you don't like the ordnance that you get from your personal ordnance, you just hit up on the D-pad and it rerolls for you.
Okay.
Yep. So that increases your chances of getting a weapon that you want. Alright, moving on to some Spartan Ops stuff. There's a bit in here that we're not going to go into right now, but it's a good read. They talk about episode 6 and how they took the ideas that they had from the first 5 episodes of Spartan Ops and the feedback that they got and really engineered the last 5 episodes of Spartan Ops to be tailored to what we have as the experience now, because I know you haven't played the new episodes yet, Brent, but oh my gosh, they have nailed it out of the park. This was the thing that they needed to do to make Spartan Ops a success, and from just watching or playing through episode 7, they are on the right track.
There's a good variety of environments. Like, that's what scared me.
There are some completely new environments.
Well, I expected that, but I mean, are they reusing the same new environments like over and over and over again?
So far they have not. I personally didn't find it much of an issue that they reused some of the environments because it made sense. Some of the storyline elements were going back to areas that you were at before.
But I'm saying I'm not spending an entire episode in like one environment that's just clipped up, right?
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing one of those in there because there was a part in, I believe, episode 3 where you were in Zanzibar twice because you were going in and rescuing Marines, and then you were going out and did that whole fun mission with the mantises. That was a lot of fun. I'm cool with stuff like that where it definitely ties into the story of why you're in a place 2 times in a row.
Yeah. I mean,
as long as you don't do that too much.
Yeah, I just got tired of some of those environments from the first half of the season. Like, I wanted more variety. I don't...
Yeah. There's, from just playing the first two new episodes, there hasn't been a single map repeat yet. Every single environment has been new. Some of them are, now, Vortex has been played on so far, but yeah. it's a highly modified Vortex. So, I mean, of course they're going to reuse some of the spaces. I'm fine with that. And there's some of the campaign spaces that you'll recognize. Some of them being on the Dawn, and then on, what is it? Requiem. If you remember the part at the very end with the Hunters, you actually are playing on that at night, and it has an eerie green glow, and it's just really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good picture of that one on the bulletin, and they just did a very, very good job.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to play them.
Let's see. Wrapping up the bulletin, the in-game file browser is completely functional as of January 29th. So as of 2 days ago of this recording, the Halo 4 in-game file browser is fully functional. You can search for anything in anyone's file share, from screenshots to map variants to custom game types, films and clips, most recommended, all that good stuff. You can finally search the full functionality of the file share in Halo 4.
What have you searched for, Dusty?
I have not searched for anything yet, personally.
I never used the file browser. Like,
I never really did either, unless like finding some custom maps to do for Monday Night Matchmaking when we were doing them back in Reach. And this is kind of an update, but I'm thinking come either the middle of February or maybe sometime in March, introducing a new night, and it's going to be called Wacky Wednesdays, and that's going to be for customs nights.
So Wacky!
So Monday nights will be matchmaking, and then Wednesday nights will be customs. So if you
tumultuous
guys...
Tumultuous Thursdays.
If you guys are interested in that idea, definitely shoot us a note. Let us know. If you guys have maps that you would like to post up for that as well, you could definitely send those in and recommend those, and we'd be more than happy to play those maps. I haven't played many customs. There's been a big gripe out from the Forge community of some of the lacking features of Forge in Halo 4, but I have watched some videos where there's some pretty awesome Halo 4 customs, one of which I've played so far that I think a lot of people like, I'm not a huge fan of, but a lot of people seem to enjoy it, is, what is it called? It's basically like Slender, where you have someone going around, it's a flood mode, and they're all glowing, and they have Promethean vision, so they can see you, and then you're running around in this completely pitch dark cave, and you have to run away from this guy and make sure he's not, and he doesn't kill you, and it's kind of a last man standing kind of thing. So that's a lot of fun for many people. For me, it's kind of like, eh, it works.
Wow, I can't see anything. Great.
Well, you can kind of see.
Oh, okay.
Not really, but it's designed to be in such a way where you're encased and you basically have to run away from this guy because he's walking and you can have the ability to run. It's just being able to outwit him.
Right.
But lunge...
Can you see when people are dying?
Yes, like you can see up, when...
So, I mean...
Yeah, you can. And it's really eerie obviously. Because you have the sound that the flood form normally makes when you walk around, and then you have the Promethean vision sound. So it's really, really eerie and creepy. So it's an interesting game type, but I would love to see some other good game types on there as well. I want to see speed. I really want to see speed made in Halo 4.
You've got the need for speed.
Indeed I do, Brent. Indeed I do. All right.
Send in your Sarah Palmer fan art for Freaky Fridays.
Oh, boy. So you can search on the following criteria. You can search on multiplayer game type, age, so last 24 hours, last week, or last month. You can sort your criteria based on date added, highest ranked, most viewed, or most related. You can do a search for a map by its name, search for author, and then search for tag.
Hmm. Okay.
So there you go.
Sounds like the file share from Reach. So good job.
They are still working on the web version, which is targeted to come out late February.
Right. I'll probably use that one more than the in-game.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, it just gives you something to do inside the game that you can do outside the game.
Well, and then hopefully when we have... Yeah. And when the web file share comes up, well, we would probably be interested in doing some kind of contest as well. So once that comes out, we're going to explore the heck out of that functionality and see what we can do with it and kind of get the community more involved. So
tag everything is Halo. Because I get the feeling that just like casuals are going to type in Halo.
Well, so here's something interesting. Let's try this. Let's try for the next 2 weeks or so, if you have a clip or a screenshot or something that you want us to see, tag it with Podtacular. I'll do a search every other day or so and see what pops up, and I will go through everything, and Brent, I may have you help me on this whenever you are able to get back on, and we may pull some stuff out to talk about on the podcast.
Sweet.
So tag your stuff, Podtacular, and we will look at searching for it and incorporating it somehow into our podcast and maybe even do a video series off of it.
Yeah. We'll make you semi-famous.
Or to the extent that we can.
We'll make you 1/24th famous.
Is that a reference to something? Because if it is, I don't get
it. No, it's not.
Okay.
I was trying to get a small fraction of fame, you know, something to work towards.
Oh, okay.
Got it. It was a failed joke, Dusty.
Fair enough.
You're beating a dead horse.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
The horse committed suicide, and now you're beating it.
Okay. I'll stop beating the dead horse. I'm sorry, horse. May you rest in peace. Okay, so there is some updates to the competitive playlist that came out on the Waypoint forums. And this is the playlist that's supposed to be coming out mid-February, so I believe in probably 2 weeks' time is when it'll come out. The playlist is going to feature a modified or heavily modified versions of Slayer, Capture the Flag, Extraction, and King of the Hill. So if you guys have been paying attention to all competitive stuff, last week was actually the first Halo 4 Arena Gaming League tournament, which was in Chicago. And that was interesting to watch and see what kind of game types and maps that they were playing on. They definitely have a good sense of what they want in the competitive scene. And I think 343 is pretty much taken from that and then taken from what we saw in MLG Dallas last November and have kind of tailored this playlist. So some of the details for this playlist that we get from Kevin Franklin, shout outs to him. This is a 4v4 playlist. There are going to be preset loadouts, forced respawn timers, so no instant respawn. Ordnance and resupply on timers, which means the ordnance that drops is going to be at a set time frame. It's not going to be any more random weapon drops on random times. So whenever you go into a normal matchmaking playlist right now, you have ordnance drops that will cycle between maybe two or three different weapons. So for something like Haven, the first spawn at the very bottom is the scatter shot. And maybe after a little while, the next one is a railgun. And the time is not set to a specific respawn time. For here, the timers are going to be set, and it's going to be set ordnance, so it's not going to be random anymore. Join in progress is off, which is a good thing. No split screen play, so that means that there are no guests allowed as well. Friendly fire is on. I'm not sure what that means because friendly fire is, I think, on just about every playlist, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I know it's not for Spartan Ops, but that's just kind of the inherent nature of how crazy Spartan Ops can be with how many enemies there are. But for the matchmaking, like the normal war games playlists, I thought most of the time friendly fire was on regardless. I don't remember playing a game where friendly fire wasn't on. Anyways, max party size is 4, so you can only go in with a team of 4. You can't have a 5th or 6th and then pick up randoms. And then it says, with big party matching of 4. So that means if you go in with a party of 4, it's going to try to match you up with another party of 4. It's not going to do this. If you go in with 4, it's going to match 2 and 2 or 3 and 1 or 2, 1, 1, stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about the random party matchups. So those are going to be the settings in the competitive playlist as we have for now. And again, that's coming out in mid-February. All right. So let's move on to some submissions that we got from you guys. First one comes from Rommel S, and he writes, just listened to episode 339. I wanted to let you know that I think you guys are doing a great job on the podcast, and I enjoy listening to them. Been listening since episode 287. Obviously, there's no problem with the popularity of the podcast. The Podtacular Halo 4 forum, on the other hand, is lacking since the release of Halo 4. I check it at least once/twice a day. I would be on it more than that, but there's hardly any new threads or comments. When there is, I always try to participate in any lore/universe threads I see. I have a couple, what I thought was interesting, Halo lore universe topics on the forums right now, which I also think would make a good Halo lore Podtacular show topics. I think they got 2 replies each, then nothing. What I see getting the most attention is the threads pertaining to war games and multiplayer. Not that it will help, but I think the forum needs separate sections for Halo 4, one for war games and one for the universe. This will keep the discussion separate and in the rightful place. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy multiplayer very much, but it's the whole story of Halo that has me hooked. I've read every book multiple times, some of them even 7 or 8, and have played through the campaigns on Legendary multiple times as well. I feel I am very well versed in the Halo lore, and that's what I like to talk about on the forums, and that's why I joined your Podtacular forums. Now, I wish I knew something about managing websites or moderating forums so I could offer to help out, but I don't. The only thing I have to offer is my participation in the forums and any idea of how to add some spark to them. You get some really great guests on the podcast, people that love to discuss Halo lore and other their stuff. Jeff Easterling, Brian Newman, Postmortem, Slightly Alive, etc. These people all have websites and forums they are affiliated with. Well, when people listen to the Podtacular podcast and hear them, they are also told in the shows how and where to go to chat with them or in the forums. What I'm getting at is if you could get the people that help make your show so good to drop a line at Podtacular forums every once in a while, it may help. I think that's the problem. Podtacular does have a well-known name, lore expert, in the Halo community posting on its forums. It needs something like that to draw the people in and make them want to discuss their thoughts and ideas. Hope this helps, and I'm sorry about any grammar or spelling errors. I'm at work and wrote this as fast as I could. Rommel S. So this is a trend I've been seeing in people lately that have been listening to our show. They want more lore. They want more of the story of Halo.
Yes. And it's this just is one of those. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of interesting because for a while it seemed like Halo was mostly a multiplayer focus. And I think 343, just what they've done with the lore, a lot more people are starting to pay attention to it now.
Well, there's also a lot more books out. Every time they release a book, that's a big ton of lore that just drops into the universe. And they release books pretty regularly, you know? I mean, it's not like they're putting one out every 2 years. So that lore just keeps increasing. And as more people enjoy that lore and buy the books, they're going to start making even more books. You know, it's just going to continue to get larger and larger and larger. Now, you're right. I mean, 343 obviously wants to take the Halo universe and expand it in ways that I don't think Bungie ever would have expanded it. I think they would have been far more conservative with that universe, you know, kind of not get a whole bunch of plot lines and, you know, inter-character relationships going. Like, I don't think you would have seen that kind of back and forth between Halsey and Lasky that you see in Spartan Ops if Bungie had made Halo 4.
I would agree. It's definitely a different take on the lore of Halo 4. And there's been a lot of mixed reactions to it because some people love it, some people hate it. There's a lot of information that's out there, too, that gets shown off. But then again, there's a lot of information that doesn't make sense to some people just because of what specifically they showed in the game. And some of it you have to have read the books in order to understand it. And the lore podcast that we had Goose on and Brian and Green Skull, there were some parts where they were even confused of what happened. And they read the books. They're well diverse and know the story of Halo very well.
I'm not saying that it matters really that I don't know, but I really don't know anything about, I mean, I know a little bit about the lore. I know more than the casual player knows about the Halo lore, but I haven't read many of the books. I read the first story, and Ghost of Onyx, so I guess 4. But I haven't read any of the new ones. like any of that Forerunner stuff that they discuss in the Greg Bear books. Like, I don't know any of that.
It's hard. Those books were hard to read.
But as the, you know, co-host of a Halo podcast, I probably should know that stuff. So,
well, at least you've read some of the books.
So I'm gonna try to get the books and just read through them.
I can send some to you.
I have extras. Read them in the hopes that they're good books, just to take all of the information and, you know, gather it from those books, get it into my brain so that I know what I'm talking about on the show. You know,
right. I could lend you those books. I actually have extra copies of some of them that I picked up from Halo Fest and then PAX that I could send your way.
But I dread the lore discussions almost, because I know that I'm just going to end up sounding like an idiot. I'm going to say something stupid. You know, so I know somebody's out there listening to the podcast who loves Halo and, you know, lives and breathes it. And they're like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all, bro. You don't know anything about Halo. Why are you the co-host of this podcast? And I wouldn't have any answer for him. I'd be like, well, just because I've been here for a long time. Age before experience, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's kind of
that makes sense.
I took it upon myself to start reading the books. And especially with more people, like, for a while, in Halo 2 and Halo 3, you didn't really have to read the books in order to be knowledgeable about Halo, because the focus was mainly multiplayer.
Yeah. There wasn't as much if you had read Fall of Reach, like, there were parts of... the game Reach is completely different from the book Fall of Reach.
Yeah, and a lot of people have issues with that. And people I've talked with, for people that have read the books, the book form of the story is canon compared to the Reach version. That's how a lot of people feel.
Yeah. Like, I think that was Bungie's rebellion. Bungie never wanted to go into that expanded universe stuff. I think maybe at first, you know, before they knew Halo was going to blow up, because Fall of Reach came out before Halo 1 was released. I'm pretty sure. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
They might have been like, yeah, let's get this thing like a foundation for this game so that whenever we get the series going, we'll have a solid foundation for what's going on in this universe. And then they released more books because the games got so popular. And then Bungie's like, well, yeah, this is our narrative, and Microsoft is making us pay authors to, you know, take this in their own direction. And we've got, you know, four different authors working on the same universe, but each author has an independent opportunity to make this huge, crushing dent into our storyline, you know?
Well, the first two trilogies of books, so First Contact, or not First Contact, what was the first book? Because was The Flood and First Strike were the second and third one. Crap, what was the first one?
Fall of Reach? Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, Fall of Reach.
Fall of Reach was the first book.
How did I forget that? Yeah, so Fall of Reach, The Flood, and then First Strike, and then you have the Ghost of Onyx, Contact Harvest, and Cold Protocol.
Right.
Minus Cold Protocol, all the other books are good. They fit very well in with the storyline of the first three games, the first trilogy of games. And it would have been... There was a while where I had the opinion that Halo should have just died with Bungie. What they had for Halo 3 should have just been the end of it.
I felt that same way for a little while. And then I started thinking about it, and I'm like... I mean, this game series can either stop right now and go down in history as a really, really good gaming franchise that, you know, people really enjoyed when it was around, and they ended on a high note, you know, great, and then it would go down in the, you know, gaming history books, whatever. And then I start to think, like, do I really want to end the Halo experience now? Like, I want to keep playing. I want people to... I love that excitement that people get right before a Halo game launches. Like, even if they hated the last Halo game, when the next one comes around, it's just another opportunity for them to fix it. You know, even if they haven't shown anything, you know, to insist that they might have improved it from the last game that you hated, there's still this excitement and a hope for the next Halo game that it's going to be the one that brings back the magic of Halo 2, you know, online multiplayer, brings back the magic of Halo 1's single-player campaign.
I don't think we're ever going to see that, really, because... those were brought around in very specific times in Xbox's history.
Yeah, and people...
Gaming was very different back then.
I mean, that's one of the problems with Halo. Expectations are way too high on each sequel. I mean, you have to live up to every game that came before it. You're never going to get Halo 2 back. You're never going to get Halo 1 back. You're never going to get those experiences again because they occurred in a time that can't be replicated. You know, Xbox right. Live is never going to be in its infancy again.
We're never going to have clans again.
Right.
Not likely.
So expectations are way too high on each Halo game. But I still love that excitement that surrounds each new Halo release. That kind
it's
of
that anticipation.
Like all of the old community members kind of start popping up again to say, hey, man, I'll check this out for a little while. You know, Halo, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the people who do stick around get even more active. You know, all the communities start buzzing with conversations and, you know, yep. debates. I love
it. All the lights start to come back on in the deserted mansion.
Right. And I mean, what I worry about is eventually we get to a point where people don't do that anymore. You know, I mean, that we get to a point where there's a Halo game so generic, so I don't know, that people just don't care for the next release, you know. Like if Halo 5 is awful, and I'm not saying it will be. I mean, assuming that 343 does what any normal developer would do and improves from the Halo 4 formula, it'll be a good game. But I just hope it's not so generic and.
I think they've learned a lot from what they've done with this game.
Yeah.
And we'll dive into the specifics more of what 343 did that was good and what they did that wasn't so good.
Right.
So we'll dive into that in a different show. You want to read the next one?
Yes. GameDude03 says, hey guys, I just got done listening to episode 339 and I felt sad about Duty Bound leaving. But what I wanted to say was about Forge and the things wrong with it. One, you can't zoom in Forge mode. I already know you do. Okay. And two, you can't use the fine editing tool, click and hold the left stick, and stuff would move slow enough to do really accurate editing. Three, every time you grab a large object, like a dish or coliseum wall, it throws you back to a distance that makes it difficult to forge and can result in slingshotting you across the map and into the invisible wall at times. Four, if an object spawn time sets, never when it despawns, it gets deleted. And five, magnets are different on every Forge world space, which makes it hard to go from erosion to ravine without going, why is this here and not there? I'm not complaining about these things, just pointing them out. There was more I wanted to say about what you guys talk on, but I can only type 5 words every 45 seconds. I'm a talker, not a texter, and don't have much time left right now. So hope you got some info out of this. See you around.
So I think this is just a small list of what the greater Forging community has problems with Halo 4 Forge.
Yeah.
The magnets thing, it does seem very weird because a lot of the things, at least for the little time I've spent in Forge, the things that you think would have magnets don't have magnets. Like some wall pieces and some boxes. And you think just about every Forge piece, except possibly for the rocks that could use that for natural terrain and stuff, would have magnets on them, but they don't.
I wonder if they could have made like something where you could have, where you could set your own magnets. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how that would have worked.
That would get a little
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting, but I think that would be something that you would have to do in a computer editor. I don't think that's something that you could easily design a usable interface with a controller.
Right.
Duquesne23 from Ready Up Live actually did a good video on being able to kind of get around some of the lack of Forge features and do some tricks to forging. So plug him real quick. Definitely check out his YouTube channel for that kind of stuff. Pete the Duck is another good forging personality that we've had on the show before. And there's a few other ones out there. If you really want to get into Forge, definitely check out Forge Hub, because that's kind of the resource for forging in Halo right now. If you want to do anything forging related, you can find a bunch of different projects over there and people that will be readily or that will be ready to help you out in a heartbeat. Okay, the next one comes from Eon Switchblade. He writes in, "Hey Podtech, enjoying the show. Just wanted to know if you guys had any thoughts about the still no race and general lack of custom game options. Maybe Duststorm can talk to BS Angel. Also, how do you guys feel about the return of Griffball? Do you think multi-team will return from Reach? Anyways, keep up the great work and keep on fragging trucks." Evidence points to race being included definitely sometime down the line. I'm not sure when. This is something I could go back and ask Jessica about, and I will do that in my next follow-up with her. But the more and more people I talk to, the more and more it seems like race is definitely going to make a comeback. And when we had Kevin Franklin on, that was actually one of the questions I asked him. And while he didn't confirm it, they did the political thing and said they'll evaluate what people want and they will look to including those. So if there's a way that race can be put into Halo 4, they are going to make a way to make it happen. So if it's possible, you will see race in Halo 4. Lack of general custom options. What have you heard on this front, Brent? Because I haven't heard many complaints of custom game options except for things like Slayer, where you can't turn off the instant respawn or control the situational record, the kill cam.
I haven't really messed around in the custom game options to really know. I haven't made a game type. I haven't forged a map yet.
Like, I think the only complaints that I've heard is just about the new Halo 4 features, like being able to drop the flag.
Like, here's the thing. People on my friends list, they're not playing custom games. Like, none of them. And I don't get why. I mean, if people were playing custom games, yeah, I'd be in there making custom games. Like, I did that in Halo 2 and Halo 3 back when they were actually kind of popular. And now it just seems like nobody wants to do it anymore. Like, people need to start playing custom games again. And part of me, like, wonders, do people not want to play custom games because they're not going to get experience from it? Like, not a whole lot.
You get a good amount of experience from it. It's a lot more effective in Halo 4 than it was in Reach.
But I mean, with that same time, would you get considerably more in matchmaking than you would in custom games?
I think so many people are already up so far up the ranks where that it doesn't matter too much anymore about the experience you get. Because a lot of people, or a good number of people on my friends list, are already at their 130s. And they can't do anything else with that extra experience that they're gaining anyways. I think that they made that rank up scale a little too easy. It should have taken longer to reach 130.
I don't know.
I think we're going to see a lot of people, a lot more people drop off of the Halo 4 bandwagon than we would have if we saw this ranking system
last out a little bit longer
and last through to the CSR that's coming up in April. I mean, some people I've talked to think that with how far out that is, people are going to be gone by the time they're going to have a chance to try it out. And then on top of that, it's not in game. It's only on Waypoint.
Oh,
so,
man. It makes me sad thinking back to things that Halo 2 did right that they can't do nowadays for whatever reason. Like, is it... I understand.
I think it's because they're just new. And unfortunately, they did that with a title where people were expecting a lot and they dropped the ball.
I mean, I understand that they're new, but 343 is a team of Halo fans. That was the reason they were chosen. People didn't go into 343 unless they loved Halo. Like,
yeah, but just because you love something doesn't mean you have the same technical expertise as the guys who originally developed Halo had.
What I'm saying, though, is you obviously have the technical... you have everything there that you need to put the number that I have in my file next to my name on the game. You know? I mean, you really can't just put the CSR next to my name in the game. Just give me something to work towards, and I can see it while I'm playing the game. I don't have to go to Waypoint.
What's the point of even
having it on Waypoint? Like, the bragging right thing goes out the window.
It does. It does.
I mean, yeah. If I can't, you know...
Because you don't want to look up
in the lobby, be like, yeah, check out my level... I mean, you know, back in Halo 2 days, it was up to 50. It's still 50 now. And I mean, that's another thing. They're obviously basing CSR on the 50 skill, 1 to 50, which is a throwback to Halo 2. It's obvious that they played Halo 2 and they understand that that feature was popular, you know? I mean,
well, it was Halo 3 as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember the popularity being at its peak in Halo 2. I mean, in Halo 3, it was kind of a joke in a way. The people really didn't care about their rank.
There were a significant number that did.
I'm saying back in Halo 2, it was like I don't know how to describe it. It was more than bragging rights. It was literal proof of if you weren't 40 and above, like you were just going to get pounded on by the people who were. Like, I mean, once you got into the 40s, it kind of like broke up because you couldn't tell the difference. There was like people who had 50s, some of them were boosters and things. Like they didn't actually achieve that. And you're going to get that here probably. Maybe that's why they're not putting it, you know, next to your name. They don't want people boosting.
That may be a reason. I mean, people are
already boosting to get their Spartan rank up. I mean,
you go by so quickly in that where it doesn't even matter at this point.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, for the first however many months of that game being out, I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying I want to see the CSR next to my name in the game. I mean, I do too.
That's
just something I would like. Now, I mean, I obviously can't always have your way. You know, game development has its limitations.
Yeah, and I think 343 has a lot to take back from this game. I think it was a big move for them, and it was a big move for the community. And whether or not they did it the right way yet remains to be seen.
I mean, they're in the learning process. That's why I'm not mad. But, I mean, there's some things that already happened in the past that you can look at, you know, with Halo. That's the thing about having a franchise that you've inherited. You know, you have all of the mistakes from the past set out in front of you.
I mean, yeah, and then when you're still kind of new to this to the thing and picking up the shoes, like when I picked up the podcast, I mean, I made some really probably rookie mistakes back then.
But, I mean, you didn't change the format of the podcast. You didn't. I mean, we still have segments on the podcast that we've had since the very beginning of Podtacular. You know, like our submission thing. Like a lot of podcasts don't do submissions. The reason we do submissions is because it's part of Podtacular history. Podtacular did submissions when podcasts weren't even around. You know, it was just something it was fun, you know. It harkens back to the old days of radio where people would call in.
Right.
That's why we have call-ins, you know.
But if you look at the podcast back when Fumo was doing it compared to when I'm doing it, there's definitely a different brand of Podtacular. So that's just kind of the same phase that we're seeing with 343. Now, the downside of that is they did it with a AAA title.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, millions of people don't listen to Podtacular.
Yeah, well.
Well, not millions.
I'm just saying for thousands
of people.
I'm just saying for comparison's sake. So in one hand, you're like, why did you do this to such a great franchise? And then the other hand, it's like, oh, that's right. They're still new to this thing. I mean, there's kind of a clash. And that's what I hope to talk about in this slew of podcasts about what they did right and what they did not so right.
What I think they need to do is they need to take a good, hard look at the major Halo communities. They need to kind of watch what people are talking about on the forums and things.
And I think they are.
They need to pinpoint the issues that are both ubiquitous and have a certain magnitude to them. You know, the bigger problems, the things that people are just really, you know, peeved about that they can fix easily. You know, things that they could take care of in the next 2 months. You know, ways that they could improve the game 2 months from now. You know, I mean, trying to improve the game, you know, 3 or 4 months from now, people are going to leave, you know. People are going to get tired of waiting. They're just going to go away. And, you know, you can put maps out to try and keep people in. But releasing a map pack does not keep people around. I mean, think of the Blastacular map pack in Halo 2. Like, at that point, it was the last map pack. It only had two maps in it. I mean, they put it out to try and get people excited. You know, keep them around in Halo 2, you know, right before the release of Halo 3.
Uh-huh.
But, it didn't succeed. Like, it was still a ghost town in Halo 2 at that point. I mean, relative to what it was earlier. And then Halo 3 came out and people just completely forgot about Halo 2 for, you know, a year and a half.
Yeah, until they shut down the servers.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's finish up this last submission.
All right. Magnus 50 says, so Peter Jackson has obviously moved on from Halo. Wingnut Studios has moved on. Has Microsoft or should Microsoft abandon any hope of a film? If not, when do you think they will try to make it? Has the buzz around Halo 4 been as big of a jump as Halo 2 was? Thank you for your time. Hit me up whenever. Gamertag Magnus 50.
Let's see. For the film, I think Forward Unto Dawn right now is the closest thing we're going to get to a Halo film.
I think they could make other Forward Unto Dawns. I think that if Halo 5 could. Comes out.
But do you think we're going to see a theatrical release of something Halo related? I just don't think it fits Halo that way.
You know, I never say never, but probably not. You know, I don't think we're ever going to.
Yeah, it's Microsoft. The potential is there. The potential is always going to be there. But in terms of the best interest for the Halo community as a whole, I don't think it's to put something on the big screen.
Well, I mean, they look at what Square Enix did with Final Fantasy Spirits Within or whatever it was called. They almost went bankrupt with that. You know, they spent all of their money building this tech for a CG movie, and they thought it was going to be big because Final Fantasy was big at the time. You know, Final Fantasy was super popular, or 7. I think 8 had just come out. That was a hugely popular Final Fantasy game. And, you know, they made that movie. Nobody went to see it, but they had already spent like $100 million working on the CG tech. And I mean, they're still using some of that, you know, stuff they bought way back in, I think it was like 2000, for assets they were making for Final Fantasy 13. Like, they'd obviously improved on it, but Square Enix almost went bankrupt, almost lost everything just because they had decided to make this movie, which it admittedly had nothing to do with any Final Fantasy that had come before. You know, I mean, the point of Final Fantasy is that all of the stories are independent, but when you put out a Final Fantasy piece of media, you generally want to tie it to a video game that people know they like. And they figured that out because they started making Final Fantasy VII movies, and those actually did well. They weren't theatrical releases. They might have released them in Japan, but not here in America. But, you know, the DVDs sold well. I mean, the Final Fantasy VII movies were popular because it took characters that people already knew and expanded on it. But I think Microsoft has seen that video game movies generally don't do very well. You know, Doom didn't do well.
Prince of Persia,
well, it did okay.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, it actually, like, financially did okay, too, but that's just because of Jake Gyllenhaal. And,
yeah.
You know, I bet a bunch of people, I don't know how many, but I would say at least 33% of the people that went to see the Prince of Persia movie weren't even aware that Prince of Persia is a video game.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
So, I mean,
I've never played the game.
Succeeded.
I mean, I knew it was based off a game, I just never played the game before. So for me, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's a little corny and cheesy at some points.
Like, people, that was like back in the 8-bit era. Really, I mean, people don't get that. Like, they see Jake Gyllenhaal, they don't tie that to, you know, 1980s video games. Like,
Right. I do want to go back to Eon Switchblades real quick, since we actually just kind of glanced over two of his questions. How do I feel about Griffball? I think we already talked about that when we talked about the bulletin. And then multi-team. So I was at a friend's wedding back in December, and we actually had the chance to do multi-team stuff on Halo 4. So we did three-way extraction and three-way oddball. And it was a lot of fun. And I've actually been meaning to talk to Kevin Franklin and Jessica about this and Bravo since he's there now, but I really want them to look at doing a multi-team playlist, because the fun that I had during our bachelor party was a LAN party. So during the bachelor party, we had so much fun trying out those multi-team things. It just adds another completely fun competitive element to Halo. So I want to see them try to do a multi-team playlist, and yes. not just like Rocket Hog Race or something like that. Like an actual multi-team, oddball, extraction, capture the flag type thing. King of the Hill, even Regicide. Like, just about every game type in there, minus... Oh, well, Griffball might be interesting. Be interesting to have a four-way Griffball.
Yeah. Three different ways to score.
I am going to have to talk to some people about that. Ooh,
well, I mean, you'd think I have by ideas. Now somebody would have already come up with that.
I have ideas. Goose, if you're listening to this, I'm coming for you. So, yeah, I want them to see the possibility of multi-team being in the matchmaking playlist. I would like to see that come in.
Multi-team doubles. Eight teams of two people.
That would be a little crazy.
Multi-team doubles CTF.
I
don't know how it would work.
I think Halo 4 only does four teams for Capture the Flag. I think it's actually built in to only do four teams. I don't think you can do eight teams for Capture the Flag.
Well.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, because at that point, it just gets ridiculous. It's like, where do you put all the flag spawns?
You want to put some real chaos into the game.
it's just nuts. It's just nuts.
I know. That's why I said it.
Okay, well, that wraps up all of our main content. I have some stuff to go over, some things to address that relate to the community. First off, there was some stuff that happened this weekend between some comments on one of our episodes. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but between a certain host and some community members, there was some words that were exchanged that were not favorable in light of our listeners and in light of the show. So for the time being, I've asked Daftlink to step down as co-host. I was talking with him, and he has very strong opinions about Halo. I appreciate him for all of his opinions that he brings to the show. Everything he has good points to back up everything that he says. There's just the way he presents himself is just not conducive to the podcast. So I'm asking him to step down for now. Just kind of work on that. And there may be a time where he comes back as permanent co-host again. It doesn't mean that he's banned from the show. There's going to be times where I'm going to invite him on to talk about certain things because he has opinions that are valuable to me and valuable to many of our community members. It's just the way he voices those opinions sometimes is very demeaning to people, and it's not, it doesn't put people in a place that has them accepting of his views. So,
and I'm no saint either. You know, I'm guilty of a lot of the same stuff that Daft, you know, takes flack for.
Yeah, but Daft goes overboard frequently, and I think just you and me, where we are at life right now, we have a little bit more experience than him. We know how to control that and convey it in such a way that doesn't turn people away.
We know how to control our listeners.
I wouldn't put it that
you
way.
You will obey. You will obey.
We're not a dictatorship.
You will obey. Podtacular.com.
Oh, we just need the hypno toad now. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Definite shout outs to Daft. He is one of our valued community members, and while he may not be on the show, we value his opinions greatly. So, next on the docket, we have our first video from our mini-series out on YouTube right now. So, yesterday I released our campaign run-through with Fumo Jive. If you guys remember, he was on our podcast to cover the first campaign mission, which is Dawn. So, I did a campaign run-through with him. I'm still trying to work out the audio issues for receiving voice coming in. Halo 4 doesn't do the best job at auto-ducking when someone else is talking, and this feature is actually completely broken for in-game chat. You actually have to do party chat or private chat, and there's still some times where Fumo was trying to talk during the run-through, but you couldn't hear him because the game wouldn't auto-duck. So, there are certain points where you can't hear him, but I may have to change up how we record for future guests. But that is up on YouTube. It's about a 20-minute walkthrough of everything. We show you where the terminal to find Chief Service Record is to help you get that achievement. We point out some of the other Easter eggs and just kind of give you a general walkthrough of the levels. So please definitely go check that out. Hit the like button, hit subscribe, because we are going to be doing videos for every other one of our mini-series episodes. So if we have an episode based on campaign, Spartan Ops, or War Games, all those little mini-series that you've seen popping up in your feeds or on the website, there's going to be an accompanying video for that soon. So that's something that we've looked into recently. We also have been kind of branching out socially from a series of events that happened over the past week, kind of instigated by a lot of different things, really. But we have our voicemail back up. I got a Google Voice account to host the voicemails from now, and we don't have any yet. I thought when after putting it up, people would actually call in to it. But we haven't had anyone yet, and maybe this is a good time to plug it because it's on the podcast format now. The new number is 240-200-HALO. It's a really convenient number to get. So that's 240-200-4256. So you can call into that voicemail, leave anything Halo-related, whether it's a game type or a funny tale from the foxhole or any other random news-related Halo content. Definitely drop us a line, leave it to a minute and a half, leave your gamer tag, and we will play it on the show during these bulletin updates. We really want to see you guys utilize that because we've actually gotten quite a bit of feedback thanks to our survey saying that you guys actually wanted the voicemail back. So it's back, so please utilize it, guys. I want to see some voicemails come in regarding any kind of Halo content. So please utilize that while I have it up. There is also our Facebook page, which I've actually been starting to post to now. So if you have Facebook, you can find our Facebook page at facebook.com/podtacular. I've been plugging it for the last 9 months, and now I'm finally doing something about it. So I have begun posting content regularly over there. All of the stuff that we post on our website, I post over there. I did a short bulletin update the other day. I updated some of our information, updated our description to show some of the upcoming shows that we are going to be doing, including some lore shows. We are going to look at having Brian Newman, Slightly Live, possibly Jeff Easterling, on to talk about some of the nitty-gritty stuff of Halo. And hopefully you guys will enjoy that. We'll also have our kind of deep dive discussion into all aspects of Halo 4, including war games, the weapons, armor abilities, all that good stuff that people like and dislike. So stay tuned for that. And I'm kind of making a resolution now at the end of the month to get the forums up and running. I'm currently working on another project, which I'll get to in a minute. But as soon as that project is put on the back burner, I will focus more time on actually getting the new forums where they need to be. They were originally designed to be themed more like the Halo Reach style stuff. But since we're in Halo 4 now, it's kind of outdated. So I need to redo some of the assets and just in general update the forums to be a little bit more present than past. Finally, there's something I need to comment on that I said a couple of shows ago. I made a comment about post-game Carnage Report when Duty Bound sent his message in to us saying that he was leaving the Podtacular community just because he found a different home. And let me rephrase that. He's not leaving the community, but he's kind of engaging elsewhere. He said he's still listening. He commented back saying that we have a good podcast, and he's just moving on to better things, which we're fine with. It's not something that we hold a grudge for. We appreciate the time that Duty Bound gave us, and everyone moves on at some point. We've had people come and go throughout the community, and he was just kind enough to give us some feedback. And that letter was also part of what instigated me trying to get back some of our community stuff back in working order. So I mentioned also that the community aspect of Podtacular has fallen to the wayside as the Podtacular has grown to heights I didn't even think it would get to before. So I've been going to conventions, I've been meeting people, seeing people, I've been branching out, and that's been wonderful for me, but it hasn't resulted in anything for you guys. So I'm kind of taking a vow now to change that, to change my attitude towards the community and hopefully do something about that instead of just kind of hanging around and using the podcast as an excuse. So I hope to do something about that. And Brent, I hope you keep me on top of that.
Yes, I'll try.
Also, PGCR, actually, I listened to their latest podcast tonight and they talked about some of the stuff that we said. And they brought out some very good, honest comments about what they thought about the stuff that I commented on, which I commend those guys for talking about it, and I appreciate what they said. They pretty much nailed it on the head of what I was kind of thinking of when I first listened to PGCR, and I have to redact my statement how much I can, which at this point isn't much because what I've said has already been said, but I would like to revise my feelings for PGCR. So the podcast in question that I mentioned was one of their podcasts where they were bashing on the campaign. And I mentioned this last time. Listening to some of their other podcasts and listening to the conversations they have, what they do is actually a very good podcast. And I'm sorry I jumped the gun on judging you guys prematurely. They're good guys. I had the chance to email them over the weekend, and I think there's a lot of common ground there. And I just want to give those guys a shout out for the good job that they're doing. And they're obviously doing well with their community a lot better than we are. So to those guys over there, to Rabowski, to Skills, to Evander, just keep on doing what you're doing. You have a good podcast going and no hard feelings.
We probably handled that letter that Duty Bound sent the wrong way.
So,
now I'm just thinking about it. I mean, the situation kind of just, so it started from the letter, which, you know, I read, and I get defensive about Podtacular. I mean, I do. Been in Podtacular in times when, you know, criticism from within threatened to rip the entire community apart. But we survived somehow. I guess that's why I'm defensive. Trying to defend what little forum community we have left. But that was the wrong way to handle it. If you can't take criticism, you know, I mean, you're never going to learn anything. You're never going to improve.
And Duty Bound, if you're listening to this, which I'm pretty sure you are, it's not that we took offense to it. It's more we're trying to explain how we see the podcast, and unfortunately, it's not very heavy community based. And I definitely appreciate what you did. No regrets. I hope you don't have any regrets of sending it in, because we do value the feedback, and hopefully it has lit a fire under my butt to where I actually focus on the community, and that's kind of what I'm hoping to do now. That's why I've actually been, I got the voicemail back up and running. I'm posting on Facebook now. So, know that what you did, we don't hold any hard feelings towards it, and we just really appreciate the time that you gave us, and, maybe you'll come back. We'll see.
So, yeah. And we encourage, you know, criticism, as long as it's respectful.
Yeah.
And Duty Bound's letter was respectful. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying there is a way to go about criticizing anything that's the wrong way, where you just devolve into, you know, ad hominem attacks and start, you don't focus on the things that they can improve on. You're just trying to tear people down. So if you have criticisms, send them in, you know? I mean, if you have something that you need to talk about that's bothering you about our show, just send it in and we'll talk about it. But just be respectful with it.
Yep.
I mean, we try to be respectful on our show. And, I mean, that's our failure from episode 339. It wasn't that we were completely disrespectful, but we probably didn't exhibit the kind of tact that situation required.
Right.
You know,
and I didn't have the necessary research into PGCR that I should have had before making the comment. So,
It's all about respect, Dusty. You got to respect.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, I think enough's been said. I don't want to drag this out too much longer. They've said their piece. I think we've said our piece. We've come to terms with it.
High noon, center of town.
No, let's not go there.
4-6 shooters, 4 bullets.
1 left standing.
It's like team doubles. 4 men enter, 2 men leave.
Oh boy. With that, guys, we are out for the evening. Definitely make sure you check out our website, poddecolor.com. And I won't say check out the forums yet, but if you want to, there are forums over there. We do have our Halo section that's just, it's all combined into Halo 4 right now because I didn't bother at splitting it up when Halo 4 actually came out. So, sorry. There is some stuff going on over there, but I will be working on the new forums once... Oh, I forgot to mention my project. So, the project I've been working on, and I'm actually going to be releasing this in the next couple of days, is I've been doing a summary slash walkthrough of Spartan Ops. So I actually started this about 2 months ago, and I'm just now finishing up the final draft of my preliminary season 1 record, which is going to be episodes 1-5, and I will be releasing that shortly. And then come around the March time frame, I will be releasing a final version, which will be all 10 episodes with graphics in there and a lot of hopefully good content. I'm having some community members that I trust and hold close to look through it and kind of just proofread some of the stuff I'm writing just to make sure I'm not missing anything, to make sure I'm actually saying stuff correctly and actually is a readable format to people. So that project I've been working on for like the last 2 months, and I'm coming up on the final draft here, and I will be expanding it to include the other 5 episodes, and then about probably about the time PAX East comes around is when I'll release the final thing, and I'm not sure like what exactly I can do with it. I know there's the content usage rules. I don't know if I know I can't print it. I know I can't sell it. I don't know if there's a way to do like a donation thing or something. I have to talk to sources to see if I can do anything with it. But I hope you guys really enjoy it. I've put my guts into this for the last 2 months. So that'll be coming out shortly, and when it does come out, please leave comments and feedback because I will take those to heart to improve the document for its final release. Have you taken a look at it yet, Brent? I sent it to you.
Yes, I have taken a look.
What do you think so far?
It's looking good.
Alrighty.
Just a little bit of editing here and there.
There's a lot of editing.
Then it'll be ready. Ready for the public to enjoy.
Yay.
Ready for you to enjoy, listener.
Yay. Alright. Back to the outro. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular. Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, and our YouTube channel, where we're starting to post our mini-series videos and possibly some other videos shortly. Not sure yet. But you can find us over there at youtube.com/podtactv. Also, make sure you send us your submissions. That can be anything that's Halo-related. If it's just stories from Halo games, funny tales, maybe some custom maps that you've made that you think are fun and you would want us to check out. And you can send those in using our form on our homepage, using the big green button at the top, just going there and clicking, or you can send it directly to submissions@podtacular.com. You can also call our voicemail, which I mentioned earlier, which is 240-200-HALO, and leave your message there. Try to keep it between a minute, minute and a half long to the max, 2 minutes max. And I hope to be getting back into getting the community up and running, so... hopefully in time some of that glory will come back to the Podtacular forums and other forms of social integration. And with that, we're out. Keep on fragging trucks.
You will frag trucks.